Hello, everyone. Let me get my glasses on so I can see. And no bueno if the queen can't see. All right, let me figure out who's getting coached. So if you were contacted and were picked for coaching today, if you'll go ahead and raise your hand, that will be amazing. Oh, well, that brought up Amazon. Amazon is not going to help us with coaching today. Let's just put it that way. let's see. I'm not sure who's getting coached today. I don't see the thing. Well, doesn't look like I have, I don't know who is. So just raise your hand. I'm going to just guess that you guys all, if you raised your hand, that you had signed up for coaching. We are going to start with B. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got waxed this morning. It's always breathtaking.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it'll make you wake up. Let's put it that way. You don't need the coffee after that. So what are we coaching on? I'm sure it's not my waxing.
No. Actually, I mean, I had a list of ideas in my head, but I have felt all over the place for the last couple of months.
Okay.
Especially since joining the tribe.
I can tell you exactly why. The moment you can't eat the food, all the bullshit comes up. Or the moment that you are still eating the food, you know why? Because all the bullshit's laying there.
Yeah, my deal with is I understand the realistic plan and I understand how it's supposed to work and all of that good stuff. But I come to the conclusion even before joining the tribe that I quit beating myself up for the binges and the overeating and stuff like that. And I think I got okay with that somewhere down along the line and have gotten stuck there to where I still keep eating, I still keep binging, not beating myself up, mm-hmm. not until that next day I'm going to put my clothes on and they're feeling tight and miserable.
And then you beat yourself up then or no? Or you just, yeah. Okay, so you haven't, I want to like let you know, you haven't stopped that part. Just because it comes later doesn't mean that it has stopped.
Right.
That's just like saying, well, I had a flat tire. I didn't really have one. It was just like 3 miles down the road, it went flat. You had a flat tire the whole time. You just didn't listen to the all the way.
That's in my head is I want what I want right now. I don't want to feel the guilt. I don't want to beat myself up. I don't even want to deal with it right now. I just want to do it, not feel bad, but still want to lose weight and get healthy on the other side of it. And of course, the two don't go hand in hand.
Well, they do. Here's the problem I think that you're running into is that you've convinced yourself that none of this works together. These are lots of problems, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you said something really key. I don't want to feel the guilt and I don't want to feel bad. Okay, then don't do that. You don't have to have food in order to not do that. Right?
Right.
I mean, you're proving to yourself after a binge that you can at least for the rest of the day not feel bad about it. So you've already proven to yourself that if you choose not to feel guilty and you choose not to feel bad, it's just laying there for you. What if we just did that before we binged and just decided, you know what, whatever I'm feeling guilty about, whatever I'm feeling bad about, no.
I have the power to do that a few times. Not enough.
Yeah, it's going to take practice. You're going to be like, I'm serious. In the beginning, especially with binge eating, you're going to love next month's content. It's all about urges, and it's specifically for people who overeat and binge eat. Like, we're just focusing on the one thing that makes you eat. It's called the urge to eat. It's not what you're feeling guilty about. It's not your past. It's not, you know, I don't know why you're feeling bad or why you're feeling guilty or anything. You know why I don't even ask about that?
Why?
It's irrelevant. You want to eat something and you do. That's what happens.
Yeah, I definitely know that my binge eating doesn't come from anything that happened in my past or anything I'm feeling at that point in time. I could be happy, I could be sad, I could be mad. It doesn't matter the emotion. I can be with content with doing good all day, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I see those Oreos up in there. I'll have two.
Yeah. And
go back for two more.
Well, then you're really going to fucking love next month, because I basically use that as an example. You have a voice called your binge voice. Every overeater has an overeating voice. We all have a voice that talks to us. And over time, our voice is developed because it said, you know, we've had such a good day. There's Oreos. And you're like, okay, let's go get those. But your brain is doing something behind the scenes. And that's what you're not, like, this is where the disconnect is. When you understand what your brain's doing and that it's not broken, that it's literally just a trained habit to respond to seeing Oreos or whatever, then you can gain authority over it. But if you think you have a problem and that you're broken and that this is hopeless and I'm doing so much worse now and all these other things, that's called, I'm not going to work on what the real problem is. I'm going to need to be able to see Oreos and not eat them.
Well, that half of my problem is because I don't feel broken. I don't even feel like the problem is I see the Oreos in the cabinet. I can get somewhere in my head at a certain point in day and be like, oh, I want this. I will go out of my way to go get it. I don't even have to have it in my possession.
Yeah.
It's like I can't quit thinking about it until I have it.
Yeah, it's because that's the urge voice. But let me ask you this. If I could just say, like, all right, we're going to quit binging and I have a magic wand, we're done. Would you be like, okay, thank you? Or would you be like, no, you know what? I'm not broken. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just going to work this out myself.
That's exactly what I do. I'm not broken. I can figure this out.
Okay, then that's what we need. You have to be that person. So let's quit arguing that you're like there's a problem. There's no problem. You have the mindset right. You don't look thrilled about it for some reason.
Because I still want to eat and not get fat.
Yeah, but that's part of the package.
I know.
You've got the front part correct. You got to quit not wanting to want to eat. I'm going to tell you, B. Is your real name B Ferns?
It's not. It's Brandy.
Okay. Well, I was like, that's such a cool name.
Actually, I had to delete my Facebook account. I didn't have to, but I did under my name.
Okay.
And the only thing I have on my Facebook now is the PMP tribe and quilting stuff.
That's good.
I don't want any. I've come to a conclusion a long time ago that social media depresses me. And I don't feel like I need to be kept up or play a, I call it Facebook. It's not Facebook. It's everybody's.
Okay. Here's what I would love for you to think about. Facebook and social media doesn't depress you. You have thoughts about them, and that's what depresses you. This is the biggest thing that I need you to like get your whole brain wrapped around, because until you make the distinction that something can't do something to you, like an Oreo can't make you eat it. Facebook can't make you depressed. These glasses can't make me look better or worse. None of that happens. All of it's going to be a construct in your mind, just like with the Oreos. That is why it's really important for you to be like in a space of nothing can make me want to eat. And also nothing can make me like nothing makes me do anything other than what I decide to do. That's it. I either decide to be depressed about Facebook or I decide that I just want to have these feeds. Otherwise what happens is it won't just be Facebook. It'll be your weight. It depresses
everything.
Me. It's everything. Nothing depresses you. Nothing in the world depresses you. You've got to break that tie right now. It is the most poisonous thought you'll have, and it puts you at the victim of the world. You can't take charge of your life if you think everything else controls how you feel. I don't care if you're depressed. Be depressed all you want, but own it that you choose it. That it is not the world and it's not Oreos. It's not your weight. It's not binging. It's not that you have now quit beating yourself up over it. It's not because you want to have Oreos. None of that is what causes the depression.
Right.
Now, here's the thing about the Oreos and the urges. You have a thought, I want it.
Yep.
It creates an urge.
Yep.
In that moment, your brain already sends out dopamine ahead of time. Do you know what dopamine is?
Yeah, I just quit taking Wellbutrin because...
Okay, Wellbutrin has nothing to do with the dopamine.
It's a dopamine pill.
Let me just tell you this one more time. You have to quit thinking things are causing your feelings. I'm telling you now that if you think Wellbutrin has something to do with your ability to learn how to think differently, you're hosed unless you can take Wellbutrin. Just like if you're married and you think you need your husband to act a certain way and it goes against the grain of how he acts in order for you to feel loved, you're hosed in your marriage.
That's why I was a little worried about making this call, because the things that I'm trying to get out isn't coming out right.
No, they're all coming out right.
But whenever you're throwing it back at me, I'm like, okay, that's what I said, but it's not what I'm meaning. It's not the point that I'm trying to get to.
But here's one of
a constant state of way too much going on in my mind. I think way too much. I think too deep.
Yes.
It's hard to slow that down, to focus on any one thing, to contribute the time and the energy to it, to get it resolved.
But
that's what it boils down to for me, is just the constant state of feeling lost and confused.
And it's lost and confused because all that's happening is you have a lot of thoughts going through your head.
Yeah.
So you don't need 1,000 new thoughts. You know what you need? One. These are all things I'm thinking. That's why I'm feeling lost and confused right now. If you can like really step into that one place, like what I'm thinking is causing this feeling right now. Like I will tell you, like for me personally, that is about the only thought I ever use. A lot of people want to do a lot of work on having 1,000,001 shiny thoughts for every one of their broken thoughts, and they need to do all this stuff. I don't buy into it. I don't have the time. You know what I have the time to do? Every time I feel like shit, I say, and that's because I'm thinking something right now. I don't even have to know what I'm thinking, but I just have to own the fact that it's probably because I'm thinking something right now. It makes the feeling valid without the feeling like it's overcoming me or that it's happening to me, which is a very different place to be. It's a little bit calming. Doesn't mean you won't feel overwhelmed, but it also means that like it starts opening your head up to the idea that everything that's happening is literally something that you can control at some point, even if it's not today. But it's really like, if I had to give you some advice, I would go and listen to the model a lot. The recordings that are in module 4.
Because it talks,
yes, because it talks a lot about the think, feel, act cycle. Let me look on the website real quick. There's another. Oh shoot! My wireless keyboard's not so wireless right now. And there's one other. Let me go. I'll tell you what we'll do. Email into support and tell them that that you need videos on Think, Feel, Act and the model. Because my computer is moving like molasses right now.
That's the model that has the
CTFAR.
Yeah, I went over that a few times.
Go over it.
It's another thing, you know, trying to get through the program with this constant state of feeling lost and confused and overwhelmed with all these thoughts. It's really hard to stay focused on that and to dedicate the time and the energy to that, because it just gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. You're just going to, like, I'm just going to tell you, you either are going to sit and feel bad for yourself because of it, or you're going to pick something and just focus on one thing. I mean, it's just the way the world is. Right?
I don't know if I've ever just had to think about one thing. It's kind of scary to think that that thought. How do you practice that? I mean, I don't even know how to begin to practice thinking on one thing.
Right now, all I want you to do is listen to module 4, nothing else. We're going to get you the, Kathy's here taking notes. She's going to get you the calls. Don't give her too many though. Give her like 3 of the best model calls we've got. And I want it to start with just thoughts leading to feelings, thoughts leading to feelings. That's literally like, if I was to talk to all of you, if there's anything that you could do for yourselves in life, it's really understanding the difference between a fact and a thought. Because that's probably a big wad of your problem right now, is that so much of your life feels factual. And it's really like you have to separate out. This is a construct of my thinking. So little of factual stuff in our lives. It's almost scary to think these are the only facts. Are you fucking kidding me? I feel this bad over that. Because then you're left with what you think. And if you can separate, once you do that, your judgment upon what you think, you have a lot of, like, I know you're not beating yourself up, but I can tell you, if you re-listen to this one, you're going to hear how you have so much judgment of your life. You're stating the things, the way you think, as if it's just like, I'm just conveying the news to you, Corinne. This is just how it is. But it's judgment about how you are that's really coming through. Like, I'm just telling you, this is how broken I really am, is behind all of it. Because if all of this wasn't happening, I'd be this happy person. And that's not the case. It's like, if all of this, you just owned it, you'd start being able to feel like shit when you need to, but you'd also be able to feel good when you need to. Because you wouldn't have unnecessary shit piled on top of it. Unnecessary shit is the judgment. Do you journal?
Sometimes. I haven't made the best habit of it yet because, again, sometimes it feels overwhelming. It's just one more thing whenever I don't have the basics figured out.
You know, I'd work on my brain way before I'd work on them basics. I'm just telling you right now.
If I keep working on my brain, though, I'm going to be 300 pounds before I know it.
No, you won't. Because if you work on your brain, it'll slow your eating down. You're trying to do the basics while feeling like complete shit about yourself.
Yeah.
That's why you're not doing the basics. Because you probably eat because you feel like complete shit about yourself. We don't even eat. Go ahead.
It's like, even whenever I tell myself I don't, I'm sure that I do.
But what is your core belief about you?
My core belief is, I know what it takes to lose the weight. Lord knows I've lost the same weight 1,001 times. So I know how to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a strong, independent woman. I know that I can do something whenever I put my mind to it. And that.
But what's your core belief that's not good? We all have faulty core beliefs, every single one of us. Unless you're Jesus Christ.
Because a lot of people look to me for the strength whenever I'm doing well in life. I think of myself a lot like you are. I'm bold. I give a lot of advice like, hey, this works, you know, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. But whenever I am not doing the 100% and doing well by that, I feel weak. I feel like I got no business giving anybody advice, like even myself. And I feel like a fake.
Yeah. That's why it's exhausting. If at your core, you believe you're like, I want you to think about levels of yourself. You have the version of you that you're putting out to the world.
Yeah.
You know, you can lean on me and all this other stuff, but your real core belief, the inner is I'm a fake and I'm a fraud. And it's just a matter of time before people find out. That's the exhaustion. That's where the journaling, that's where the model, that's where all of this comes in. Imagine if you went through life, you actually did believe and you didn't think you were a fake. Do you think you would need food?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Work on you first. We always think that the time that we spend on working on our beliefs and stuff, it's going to be like, well, then I'm just going to gaslight my weight. It's like you're eating because you're not doing this work.
Yeah.
That's why every person joins PNP, because I don't promise a meal plan. I don't give out grocery lists and I don't do recipes. Everybody knows that. And it ain't like I like pretend that all is coming. No, everybody joins because when you join, the moment before you join is because at your root, you know, you're eating is there's something going on and it's got to be mental. Because all of you do know what to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you work on the mental, then all that shit you know and all that shit I teach you, it's a whole fucking easier to apply. So I'm going to just tell you everything that I would work on. You just write it down. I'm going to bullet down to three things. Number one, you're going to watch the model calls that Kathy gives you. That's step one. And you don't move off of step one until that's done. Step two is journal every day. I don't care if you journal your food. I need you writing about your life. So once you watch the model calls, it's going to explain a lot about your mind. And I want you to just honestly write about your life each day. And you're not allowed to judge it. Your practice will be to witness what you think about your life and what's going on in it and who you are as a person and to not cast any judgment over it. Because if you can do that piece, you're going to feel a lot better about your life because you'll see it may be a mess, but you won't judge yourself for the mess anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And number three is the simplest one. Water and sleep have to be primary for you.
I get my water and sleep. If I do any of the basics, I get the water and sleep. It's
good.
The other two that get thrown out the window.
Okay. Well, if you're already doing water and sleep, then let's do this. I want you to practice 2 to 2, but I want you to hear the word practice in it. I don't care if you binge. I don't care if you overeat or whatever. I just don't want you to eat anymore without making it like before you eat anything, you say, I am choosing to eat this. This is a choice. This is not good or bad, but it is a choice. So that there's, because this is what will happen, especially next month, I'm covering urges with the group, but your brain right now is seeing Oreos and stuff and it's rolling right into what it always tells you. And then you're just eating and it feels like it's not a choice right now. It feels like looking back on it, you can say, oh yeah, that's a choice. But in the moment, does it just sometimes feel like I'm just eating and not, like I just want it and I'm just eating and I don't know.
It feels like I have to have it. It feels like a
compelling
drug addiction. Like yeah. I have to have it.
Yeah. So, well, that's a cute picture. I don't know where you went, but your picture is cute.
That would be my daughter and she's persistent.
Oh, she's cutie patootie. She looks just like her mama. I thought it was you. What I want you to do is start teaching your brain that even if it feels compelling or whatever, that it's still a choice. I explain a lot of this next month and next month's program, but what I will tell you is that your thought comes in and no matter whatever happens, no matter how compelling it is, you always have to use your reasoning brain to make the choice to eat. Most of us just aren't slowing down long enough to prove to ourselves that we're always just choosing to eat. So I think just for your binging purposes, to kind of gain some authority over the food, does not mean that you're going to lose a lot of weight. And it does not mean that you're going to like suddenly have no problems with urges. But what it's going to do is it's going to teach you that like so much of what's going on in your life right now is all because of thoughts and you're choosing to act on them. But it's not the world. Okay. I think that's just super important for you. And I would also do this next month, get on an Ask Coaches call and update them. On, like Kathy, get on one of her calls next month and update her on where you're at and talk to her about the problems you experience. Because I'm going to give you all this advice. You're still going to have problems. Your brain's still going to race. You're still going to want to binge. It's all going to still feel like a freaking mess. And that's the way it's supposed to feel while we sort it out. It's kind of like, I like for you guys to think about, like, if we were going to go into hoarders, right? We had to clean out hoarders. It's going to look a hot mess before we get all the shit out and get it organized and whatnot. And that's what a lot of us have been hoarding these thoughts for a long time and not putting them on paper and cleaning them out and reorganizing and throwing away what we don't want and putting back what we do.
Do you ever find yourself when you journal rewriting about the same thing?
Yeah, like every day. Almost every single one of my journal entries starts off. It's like, if you were to read my last 60 days, like there's highlights of new things happening, but the majority of the time I got about three problems I write about the same ass shit all the time until I have a small little breakthrough and then it'll be the same shit, but just a little bit better. Our problems are our problems. It's like you're never going to clean it up.
That's what I think, you know, when I'm journaling is like, oh, I done wrote about that. What do I need to write about next? Not stopping to think, has that even been resolved or even caring at that point in time? Just in my thoughts, I think, well, I done wrote about it. It's there.
I swear to God, the last 60 days, I have either wrote, well, I can tell you guys about what I've, in 3 weeks, I can tell you one of them. Can't tell anything right now. But one of the things that I write routinely is about getting older. Like I'm very vain. And like it has been, I would say this last year, seeing that, like, you know, because I've always had loose skin anyway because of weight loss. Well, holy fuck. At 45, I'm starting to notice new places where there's loose skin because it's just like good old gravity's taking over. And I mean, I have had to do work on how do I want to think about myself and stuff? And every day it starts off with a bitch fest of, you know, shit that's wrong with me. And then I have to transition and think about, like, you know, why, what is this really about? And a lot of times for me, it's really about, like, it always comes down to me as a person and how I show up in the world. Like, I have a lot of fraud issues too. I always am worried that people are going to find out that, you know, I'm not as good. Because I've always been able to put on the face that I'm a pretty amazing person, but on the inside, I have just as much insecurity as anybody else. I just keep it in check. I used to not. I used to go through life like you with this mask on and being fucking exhausted and then eating because of it. And then I went through with a mask and just burned myself out in different ways. I took away the food, but then burned out in other ways. Still just as exhausting and miserable until I really started kind of reconciling that it's okay to not always feel your best. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Kathy will get you those links. Okay.
Okay,
thank you. Just email support so we can get them to you.
I'll do that.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. All right, Alexis. Remember, only if you got, make sure that you were signed up. I have not seen you in a long time. You're so fuzzy though.
I don't know why.
Oh, your finger. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, you must have just had a big old thumbprint on it. So what are we coaching on?
Well, I kind of feel like after listening to these that mine is a little bit similar, you know, in nature to hers. But really what I had written about when I decided I wanted to get coached was that I've been a member for maybe like coming on 3 years now, and I had a good, you know, good loss and was really excited and proud of myself and I felt good. And then I've had about 2 years where I've maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm proud of having maintained, but I'm also, I got really frustrated that I wasn't losing. I'm like, damn it. You know, I'm doing, or I felt like I was doing a lot of the work, but I wasn't losing. So I got frustrated with, you know, like my stagnation. And then I more recently had a backslide. So I gained about 10 pounds and I was like, fuck, I was upset about maintaining. Well, now I'm really upset about gaining, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of, it morphed into, you know, me losing faith in myself, losing faith in, and don't, I'm sure you hear this, but I feel like I have to say, don't take it personally, but.
I don't take it personally.
Yeah, losing faith in the program, and then not really knowing what to do and thinking, you know, maybe I need to try something else. And so my thought was, I need to now try and go with another program and see if that works. And I kind of joined like one of those 6-week challenges where they give you a meal plan and you have to eat every few hours and you're eating a lot of protein. And, you know, the first week it felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I kind of felt like I was backsliding again. And I was also really, really full. And that just felt weird, you know, especially after having come from your world of, you know, eat till satisfied. It was really starting to feel uncomfortable. And also I was like, I want to have the variety. I want to allow myself to have the fun foods from time to time and not feel so, you know, restricted.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I was kind of feeling restricted. And I guess
so when you can have anything you want, you're restricted. And then when you have a meal plan, you feel restricted.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I was like, you know, kind of a light bulb moment was, and I guess what happened was I came in on Monday to work and I was talking to Catrice and I was telling her that I just didn't like myself after all of it. I was like, I just don't like myself. And I think a lot of that is because I tie my self-worth to my ability or inability to lose weight.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it won't matter what plan you go on. I don't care what plan you go on. And it's not even the restriction. That's the bullshit that you, like, you're wasting time with trying to figure out which diet's going to work and like all this other stuff rather than figuring out like, why do I tie my self-worth to my weight?
Right.
You resolve that, you can follow anything you want. Because if you decide that you're worth it now, then you'll be able to lose weight. But if you're only worthy when you're losing weight, every time you're not losing weight, guess what you get to feel? Very unworthy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's guess what happens in weight loss all the time?
Is feeling unworthy.
No, moments of not losing weight.
Right, yeah.
So like, that's why that's such a hoser. Right?
Right. I guess people are having a hard time hearing me and I'm not sure what I'm...
I can hear you fine. You just keep talking.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess I'm just not... Since Monday, I will say what I did was I got back on... track of making my 24-hour plans, following, you know, what I plan to eat. And I guess what I will say, if anything positive came of me taking a little mini P&P break was and joining this other group was that, you know, they really focused on the water, which I know you do too, but she gave me like drink a gallon. And you know what? Every day since I've done that, I have drank a gallon and I'm going to mm-hmm. continue to do that. You know, that's like something I was like, okay,
I wanted you to see where your brain's going. We're trying to talk about your self-worth and you're telling me about the gallon of water you've been drinking.
Right. Because it feels like I was able to check that off because I did it. You know what I mean? Like that gave me.
What makes you worthy as a person?
That's just who I am and what I bring to the table, and like that I'm a good person, but I don't always feel like I am. I mean, I feel like I am failing in a lot of places.
So why are you not working on that, Alexis? If I ask you what makes you worthy and the best you can do is cry and tell me about that you're failing in places, that is the problem.
Yeah.
Quit joining challenges. Quit focusing on the basics and stuff like that. I don't care if you focus on the basics, but you've got to be focused on your self-worth more than anything right now.
But how do I do that?
You're right. You write like your life depends on it. And it pretty much does. Yeah. Like if you, like guys, I want all of you to hear this. If you feel you're unworthy, the first thing you should do is grab a pen and your journal. And you should write, these are the thoughts I'm thinking that make me feel unworthy. Do I want to keep them? They're optional. Y'all have to quit believing everything that goes through your ears. Just because it's in there doesn't make it a fact. It doesn't, because here's what's the problem. If you're not seeing and identifying these are the things I'm thinking, then they will keep circulating until they're where they're at right now, which is called your belief system.
Yeah.
Tell me about like, if you like these failures. Why are you failing?
I guess I think I'm failing because I'm telling myself that it's never worked before. So that, you know, at times when I know I shouldn't maybe overeat or I shouldn't eat the, you know, the cookies or the this or that, there's a part of me that just thinks, well, it's not going to work anyways. So,
well, I'm going to tell you, if you think you're unworthy, you're not going to be worth the effort. Because here's the thing. When you want the cookies, like this goes to my first caller. When you want the cookies, if you feel at your core that you're kind of worthless and unworthy, you're not going to be willing to pay the price of restriction, discomfort, and deprivation. Because yeah. Here's the key. And I need you to hear this because you've been on a long ass plateau.
Yeah.
Not having cookies on a regular basis does not make for a deprived individual.
Right.
We all of us, I teach you guys how to do exceptions. I teach you how to plan according to your goals. But if you're going to sit around and you all are going to tell me that if I don't have cookies every day and stuff, that's going to make me feel deprived. I'm like, yeah, you probably need to feel a little deprived. That's part of your problem. You're feeling very entitled.
Right.
You're spending a lot of your emotional energy in craving entitlement versus like, and I want you all to hear this. Deprivation, entitlement. Deprivation, excess. Do you want to describe yourself as an entitled, excessive person?
No.
Yeah, and when you feel unworthy, that's the person you're creating. And so you need a clear definition of the kind of person you are. And then you got to practice believing that every day. And it means practice believing it through setting yourself up to feel deprived sometimes. It's like, you know what? I'm so fucking sick and tired of depriving myself for 2 years on being at my goal weight. All over some cookies. I even went and spent money on a whole nother program that's going to teach me how to drink a gallon of water every day and eat a fuck ton of protein. I'm tired of depriving myself of like my self-worth at this point.
Well, I think feeling, I guess, feeling those feelings of deprivation for the 2 years then led me to the feelings of, you know, fuck it. Indulgence and stuff like that. And then it was, you know.
But you were never feeling deprivation, Alexis. This is the lie that you're telling yourself. For 2 years, you maintained your weight.
Right.
How much deprivation did you feel?
not a whole lot, I guess, because I maintain.
Yeah, and during that maintenance, was there a lot of fuck it eating? Like you made one plan to lose weight and you just decided it's excess and entitlement for me today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
You spent 2 years feeling the other way, feeling spontaneous, whimsical, excessive, entitled. You spent a lot of time in desire with no benefit of weight loss.
So then what happens when you do start feeling the deprivation and then your mind wants to go to, well, this sucks. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you don't.
When it goes to this sucks, you're supposed to say it damn sure does. It's supposed to suck. I'm used to eating a cookie right now.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to feel good. That's your problem. It's like you're looking to feel good all the time. You're looking for all this, like guys, it's called losing weight. It's not supposed to be a fun factory.
Yeah.
Fun factory is gaining weight.
Yeah.
And on once you leave the factory, you're homeless. And it sucks, yeah. And it's hard.
Yeah, and I definitely look at food as entertainment at times, especially on the weekends, you know.
It can be as entertaining as you want, but you need to plan your entertainment.
Right. Yeah. And I guess I felt like I was doing that those 2 years, but I was still obviously going in either excess with eating off plan or just not tweaking enough when I wanted to have those fun times.
I'm thinking that if you spent 2 years doing 24-hour plans that were designed for weight loss,
I would have lost weight.
Yeah. You had 2 years of 24-hour plans that were designed, that were either designed to maintain, because that's the result you got.
I definitely wasn't doing 24-hour plans at that point, really. You know what I mean? What? I wasn't doing 24-hour plans at that point.
Yeah. It's really hard to, like, get some, like, it'd be like saying, I'm going to drive across country. I've never really been there, but I'm not taking a map. Yeah. I bet I could feel my way there.
Right. I mean, I did start doing it more in December, the December timeframe. You had made some comment about doing it for whatever reason, the number 67. I don't know if you remember, everybody. And I did.
You know, and a lot of people did them, and only one person didn't lose weight. Did you do 67 24-hour plans and stick to them?
Oh, well, I probably didn't necessarily stick to them every time.
Did you assess every single one of them?
No.
And did, well, then this is why. 67, I will tell you, 67 plans in a row, done. Now, I'll give it to you. You don't have to follow them. But you better assess every single one of them, and it has to be followed through with, this is what a worthy person does. Let me tell you the difference between worthy and unworthy. Unworthy says, I'm going to do the 67 thing. Like, yeah. But I'm not going to, like, learn from it. I'm just going to do it. Why would I spend all that time and energy, like, looking at my mistakes? Because if I'm unworthy, the last thing I want to do is look at what I'm doing wrong. When I'm worthy, I actually did a video on this morning. The best decision I ever made in my weight loss was the day that I decided to feel disappointment in myself. Like, really be disappointed in me. Like, I will cry when I'm disappointed. I will look at things and know that I'm better than that. And I will tell myself, you're so much better than that. I know you can do better. And here's how we're going to do it.
That's disappointed daily, though.
You know? Feel disappointed daily?
Yeah, because I'm not, you know, I haven't gotten to my goal, and I haven't, you know, I've gained weight, I haven't lost weight.
So what do you do with your disappointment? Yeah, you're not feeling disappointment. That's the problem. You, like, get a whiff of disappointment coming into the room, and you're like, well, where's a cookie? That's like disappointment. Let's get out of here. I want to go back to entitlement in excess. It's so much more fun over there. Yeah. That's the fun factory.
Yeah.
Disappointment is like, what? We're going to sleep on a cot for 3 months without a blanket?
So when I do my assessments, I guess, and I'm sure you probably have videos on it, I guess I need to go back to learning how to do the assessment portion of the 24-hour plan.
It's just answer those questions on the other side of the page.
Okay.
Go to the 60-day planner. If you don't order one, just go to the website. We have them where you can print them.
Okay.
There's a 24-hour plan and there's a 24-hour assessment page. Okay. Just answer those questions. Do you do recovery worksheets?
I've done them, but not frequently.
Yeah. So I just, like, I'm so glad you're being honest. And I pick on you because I know you and you've been around for a long time. I know you can take it. But I want everyone to hear this. Like, I really want to lose weight. Like, I want it. But I'm not really doing anything about it. I'm kind of doing some stuff. I'm doing the stuff that keeps me feeling good. Yeah. But all the hard parts, man, I don't know about that. Like, what? We're going to look at our mistakes and we're going to evaluate ourselves and we're going to, like, not judge ourselves and learn how to actually be worthy. That is some bullshit, Corinne. I would much rather stay not losing weight, frustrated, highs and lows of food. That's where you're at.
Yeah.
Imagine for a minute, if you gave me 67 straight days, all of you, 67 straight days, 24-hour plan, assessment, raw-ass honesty with yourself, and every day expecting yourself to do better, sitting with incredible want for a cookie and saying to yourself, I know this sucks. It only sucks because I've been eating cookies. It's not because I'm deprived. I may feel deprived, but it's because of what I'm thinking. That's how you lean into an urge. That's how you sit there and you talk to yourself like a worthy person. An unworthy based person talks to themselves like this. This sucks. I can't handle this. This is not fair. I need to find a diet that's not so depriving. Like, this is part of that whole eating disorder world. It's like, there's nowhere in, like, seriously, God didn't on the seventh day make cookies. We act like we're so entitled to all this stuff. It's like, those are the delights of life. But for, like, we have to be honest. Sometimes we're saying things that are so detrimental to our overall well-being, like our healthy well-being. Thinking that not having a cookie after a bad day is not deprivation. It just feels like deprivation. And on those days, that's when we want to practice it, allowing that feeling, because it allows us to also feel the bad day. Because if you're not eating, then you're forced to examine the bad day and to look at how you showed up for that day. And what was your part of that day? And what you might want to change in your life. And a lot of times, if you want to change your life, comes some work and scary ass work. Like having a hard conversation with your boss. You don't like the way they talk to you. It's a lot easier to have the cookie. And you just go back the next day saying like, yeah, my boss is an ass. I'm not going to do anything about it, but gain weight. That'll fix it.
Right.
So I want you to do 67 days. Like, I want you to take the gauntlet challenge.
Okay.
But I want you to do it honestly.
Yeah.
Recovery worksheets every single time. There's two kinds. There's one for the people who want to dig deep into their souls and see what's going on. And there's one called the 2-minute drill for us busy ladies. Either one is fine. I tell people to mix it up sometimes.
Yeah. I guess sometimes I think for me, and again, it's because of what we're talking about, the discomfort is the reason I don't always do these assessments and the plans and all the, you know, after the 24-hour plan, I've gotten good at doing the 24-hour plan, was because it felt like so much extra work. And as a working mother, I just sometimes feel really drained and just want to check out. And so to do the assessments on top of life in general,
yeah,
it feels like a lot of work, but I know that, I mean, truly, I do know I need to do it.
Let me ask you this. Is feeling better about your life and losing your weight worth 15 minutes a day?
Yeah.
That's the price you're paying. It's 15 minutes. The assessment takes 5. The plan takes 2.
Right.
If you have to do it only when you have to do a recovery worksheet, are you at 15 minutes?
Right.
It's either worth it or not. Now, your monkey ass brain, all of our monkey brains, I like to call it the idiot, the monkey, the lower brain, the unconscious brain. He's got many names. Yeah. That fat girl thinking brain is always going to tell you your child is a good excuse for your unhappiness.
Right.
Don't put that on your kid. Somebody told me the other day when we were talking about kids and stuff, like, what is the best gift you can give your child? Do you know what it is?
Myself, but good
your time. Own happiness. Children know what their mothers feel. They came out of your womb.
Yeah.
They are tied to you emotionally in a way that you can't even appreciate. And especially children, because what children do that we don't do as much anymore is they're very aware of people's facial expressions and stuff, because they don't always understand the language yet, but they know behaviors. They know size. Little kids, I want you to think about like animals in the woods. When they're, as they're getting older, before they become like an adult and can protect themselves, small animals are hyper aware of their senses around them for a reason, to protect themselves. Our children do the same thing. Before they can articulate what's going on, before they can understand what's going on and why, they just look to you, not through your words, but through how you show up for yourself and the way you look to determine what the emotional state is. And that's how they learn. So if you want to give your child a gift, give them the gift of your own happiness. I mean, I look at my mom, and one of the things that I feel the worst about was how miserable she was when she was raising us. She was a single mom, and she was tired all the time. She talked about how tired she was. She never, like, sat around and said, you kids, well, she did say this a couple times, but not on the regular. But, like, she didn't just sit around and tell us, like, you know, I am so unhappy, and I am, and it's all because of you and stuff like that. It was the little things. It was the, I'm tired right now. I'll be in a minute. Let me just eat something. It was the small, like, if we had had these things, I can't even imagine what it had been like. Like, I can remember just wanting, like, saying, I just want to watch a little TV. And I don't think any of that's wrong, but if you're doing all of that because you're emotionally wore out from yourself all day and you're turning to it so that you don't have to listen to what's going on in your head anymore, you're not giving yourself the gift of happiness.
Yeah.
So clean up what's going on in your head.
Yeah. Here's
your homework, other than the 67 days. This is not going to be hard. Well, it's going to be hard emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the days that you're not having to do the recovery worksheets, you have 7 extra minutes to work on Alexis. I'm giving you 15 minutes a day to work on you.
Yay. Okay? Yeah.
The other 7, I want you to every single day write 3 things that I think that make me feel unworthy. And then the next column, and then here's why that shit ain't true. You got to start seeing all of this.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
But get after it. I will guarantee you do the 67 days, that plateau will be nothing but a thing.
Yeah, I will. I'll do it. Thank you.
Tell Catrice hello.
I will.
Oh, tell her to message me and Kathy how Tim's doing.
Okay, I will.
Thank you. Bye. Jillian. Remember, only have your hand. All right, before I call on anyone, I don't have my list of people that we said could get coached. Only have your hand up if you had gotten a message saying that you might get coached today? All right, Jillian. Hello. Let me unmute you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
What are you coaching on today?
Super nervous. It's my first time. I'm an April baby.
Welcome, April baby.
Thank you. Okay, so what we're coaching on today, I started doing PNP in January. I joined in April.
Okay.
Prior to that, I'm a serial Weight Watcher. I don't have that much more to go, and I am just super, super stuck right now. So what's going on right this minute is that last week I had a killer week. I'm a big exerciser. I'm a physical therapist myself. I went to spinning a bunch of times. I went running. I did all this stuff. I'm making plans. And last Friday I lost 0.2 pounds.
Okay.
And I just crumbled. I was like, fuck this. I'm done. I went out and had a big old cheeseburger because I had been wanting a cheeseburger, like craving red meat like crazy for weeks and weeks. And I kept pushing that off and pushing that off. And I feel like something just like I get to this point and something's coming over me. Like I make a 24-hour plan. I have the plan. I'm in the kitchen and it starts with a foggy, like I'm just going to start eating this stuff that's not on my plan. And then it's a stormy and then it's the end of the day. And I'm like, well, I blew it. I'm done. And then I start the next day and I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be fine. I can do this. I'm going to get right back on track. And I'm not.
So a killer week to you has nothing to do with your actions. It only has to do with what the scale says.
Yeah. That's like another thing I want to talk about is like, okay, so now, like, I'm a few more days from weigh-in, and I'm having this whole conversation with myself about how this week didn't go how I planned. I've overeaten or eaten beyond my plan, like, 4 out of the 7 days to this, you know, like, I had
yeah,
4 days
on Friday, it's going to reflect this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm terrified. And so I'm, like, negotiating. I'm this constant negotiation with myself about how I just won't weigh in this week because it's just going to kill me.
Massively. No, you're going to weigh in this Friday and you're going to teach yourself that that number is supposed to reflect the past week for an examination. And that's all. Like, I'm going to tell you what the, you know what this number is going to tell you this week?
Yeah.
That last week you acted like an asshole to yourself over the number. That's the lesson you're supposed to be learning because that week, you didn't allow yourself to go back and examine your actions. You just decided to shame yourself that it should be something different. See, this is what I want to tell you. What if Saturday was the day that your body was going to drop like 3 pounds for all your effort?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That is, if you will step on the scale and never make that day mean that, oh, like, why is this not linear?
Yeah.
It's Friday. Doesn't the scale know it's Friday? Doesn't my body know it's Friday?
Right. Right. But now I just have this whole narrative in my head of like, I can't do this. I'm failing at this again.
Of course. Because like, you're looking at the number.
I need all this restriction.
I don't need all your shitty thoughts. Here's what I need you to do. See what the real problem is. Those are just trash thoughts. It's called neurological junk coming up. You've conditioned yourself. How old are you?
38.
38 years of neurological junk around the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're just going to wipe that away. We don't care about those thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know why we don't care about them?
Why?
Well, one, they're not productive.
Right.
They suck the energy right out of you.
Yeah.
And they don't solve the core problem.
Right.
The core problem is you're going to get on the scale on Friday
mm-hmm.
and you're going to want to bring up all your neurological junk.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to say no. Like, mm-hmm. do you have a kid?
3 of them.
What's your youngest? What's the
what
youngest?
What did you say?
What's your youngest age?
4. 4. Okay. She's 4.
So this 4-year-old, she wants to, go to school, take a shit on the table, and like smear it on the walls for fun. Because it's Friday.
I'm going to say no.
Right. That's, you know what you're going to tell her? That's neurological junk. Yeah. Like, we're not doing it. Just like you're going to have like wants and desires to beat the shit out of yourself. And you're going to be like, no, we're not shitting on the table and playing in it today. Literally is that easy. But you've got to believe that the thoughts don't mean anything. Your problem is you think that they're so true. They're so bad. They're coming in here and they're doing things. They make me eat cheeseburgers. Like, no, you have a lot of thoughts. And then you decide, like, fuck this. I'm just going, whatever. And you have an urge to eat and you go get the cheeseburger. The only thing that's happening is you got to separate, like, this is neurological junk. Here's a weigh-in. Here's what I allow myself to do on weigh-in day. I look at the past week and I learn from it. You got to practice stopping your self-judgment. The only way to do it is to weigh, is to look at your sheets, to look at all the things. Be a little disappointed in yourself. Just be like, yeah, I know I'm better than this. And this is how we're going to prove it. By not eating a cheeseburger tonight when we want to.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's going, my feelings are really resonating with the other callers where I'm like, I make a plan. I'm doing all the things, right? I'm doing my worksheets. I'm doing my recovery worksheets. And something's happening in that moment. It's like I get home from work. I'm tired. I feed the kids. I do that. And all of a sudden, it just comes over me. And it's like I go to a different place. Like I'll try to resist for a little bit. Like this isn't on our plan. I almost feel like, you know, I tell myself, go do some of these other things that you planned. To give yourself some relaxation, go watch a show, go outside with the kids, whatever. And I almost feel like I don't know how to just do one thing. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm watching TV. I want to be eating, or I want to be on my phone at the same time, or I want to be, it's like, I don't even know how to like physiologically bring myself down if I'm not eating.
Yeah, and that's going to take you literally planning to not eat. Now, this is what you guys do. You create these 24-hour plans. Like, this is what I'm having today. This is going to be great. Like, I'm on. Like, I'm doing everything Quinn says. This is amazing. And then what do you do at 5?
Fuck.
All right, so then what do you do at 4:30? Like, when do you do your eating?
Oh, nighttime after the kids go to bed.
Tell me what time that is.
9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Okay. So at 5 o'clock, what are you thinking about it for 8:30?
I'm not thinking about it. I'm thinking, I got to get these kids in bed. These kids are driving me crazy. I've got to get this permission slip done. I got to write this report for work tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So then this is what I would do. Before you do all that thinking, you need to take 2 minutes to say, tonight's going to be a hard night.
Okay.
Tonight's the night I'm not going to be eating. And that's going to happen about 2 to 3 hours beforehand.
Okay.
And I would set an alarm on your phone that goes off about every 45 minutes so that you have to turn the phone off. Just let the alarms go. Because this is what you guys don't have to do. You don't have to sit like this and tell everybody be quiet. I'm preparing to not respond to urges tonight. That does not have to happen. But here's what can happen. The alarm goes off. You got the text in there that says, we will not be eating tonight.
Okay.
You can feel like ass for one night. And then you do that day after day after day until it doesn't feel like ass anymore.
Okay.
But I mean, it's like literally like every 30 to 45 minutes, starting at about 5 o'clock, leading up until that moment, you have to be continually reminded that we will not be eating.
Right.
And then when you decide, like, I wouldn't, like, if you normally eat and watch TV, you know what I would do the first night?
What?
Not even watch television. Because the moment you go to watch TV and sit in your normal space,
yes,
your brain is like, why are we not eating? It's going to be extra cued.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to another room and watch TV.
Okay.
Or I don't know, whatever else you've got to do. Like, but here's what I wouldn't plan. Bullshit, toilets, permission slips.
Right. Right. Cause I'm doing a lot of that indulging. At the end of the day, I'm just like, you know what? This has been such a long day. This has been so hard. I've stuck to my plan. A little bit won't hurt, right? The old Corinne adage, a little bit won't hurt. And if I really look back, like I did fill out my Hello Scale worksheet last week and I did write on there, I feel like ass, you know, like I got up at 4:30 so many days this week and I did all this stuff. And when I really look like, yeah, I overate here, there, ate behind my own back, all that kind of stuff. But in the end, I still felt like I got robbed, right?
Right. And that's the difference. And you weren't robbed. You know what you were? You robbed yourself when you got on the scale and thought, you're defining who I am. Rather than like somebody who looks back, like this was the defining moment for me for weighing in. I was training for triathlons. I was a fucking 250-pound plus girl who was doing triathlons.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, who the hell bikes for 2 hours and then goes run for another hour in the heat? Like me. I was like, what? And then when I wasn't losing weight, I was like, this is crap.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. I used to like lay on the couch, you know, and that day was like a reckoning. I said, shit, you can't think like this. Like that is exactly how you got fat, was thinking that bullshit. And I just said, you are the kind of person who's training for a triathlon now. Look at what you did this week. We got to keep doing shit like that.
Right.
And that was the moment that the scale number didn't define me anymore. You know what defined me? How I showed up in my life. And you're not doing that.
No.
You're defining yourself by every mistake, by permission slips, shit you got to do. You're defining yourself that way. And if that's what life's about and you're defining yourself, of course you're going to need a fucking break every night.
Yeah.
And if the only reason why you're exercising and doing spin class and the only reason why you're making 24-hour plans is just to lose weight, of course you're going to break your plans all the time because that's not enough. You are proving for your actions that losing your weight is not enough.
You're right. Because I've done it 100 times. 100 times.
You and everybody else on this call right now needs to sit down, like just get out some paper. And y'all need to write, here is every reason why I'm fucking losing weight. And not one of those things should be the scale or size. It has got to be bigger. It has got to mean more to you. It has got to be, because this is what you're doing for the rest of your life. You need to like up your game on how you think about you and why you're doing this and the purpose behind it and why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you want something to eat at night because you've had a long day, just wanting to lose 1 pound this week is not compelling.
No, it's not.
No, it won't matter. All those little faults will come in. But if you're so dead set on being a different version of you, like I just so bad want to be the kind of person who like can say they will do things and do them for themselves.
Yes, that's exactly what I want.
Then you got to remind yourself of that more than 0.2 pounds.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So we're going to practice all the warnings. Ass is coming. Mm-hmm. Ass is coming.
Okay. I'm going to do that. Yeah. And make my list.
And you don't judge yourself when it's hard. It's like, yeah, it's supposed to be hard. I've been eating every single night. I have compassion for myself that right now, I want it. And the worst it is how it feels in my body. That's the worst thing that's happening.
Yeah. It feels like, and I know this sounds crazy because I've done this before. I've had 3 babies. I've lost the 50 pounds 3 times.
Yeah.
I've done Weight Watchers for 12 years and I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I decided, like, I'm done with this. I'm done counting points. Like I need to fix what's up here. I know that eating and food, it's all about what's here. It has nothing to do with counting points or counting calories or macro. I mean, I did macros for 2 years. I did all this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like there's nothing left for me. So I just want to eat, you know? And I talk to myself about that. But there are days I feel like I cannot stop myself.
Yeah. Next month will be good. When we do urges, it'll be good. We're going to teach like more strategies around stopping and like separating stuff out. But the main thing for you is do some stuff on like there's nothing left for me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you even think that is the real question? Like, why do you, like, what is it that you think about your life and your children and the things you do for them and your work, like all that stuff?
Yeah.
You need to get really clear on how you're thinking about it, because there's probably going to be a lot of thoughts in there that you're going to be like, this is why I feel like there's nothing left for that. If I feel like I have to do these things,
yeah,
that's my biggest problem.
Right.
You never have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like permission slips. You don't have to sign them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like, why do you sign permission slips is a good question.
You mean for myself? Why am I signing permission slips for myself?
No, permission slips for your kids. You said that like at night there's permission slips.
So they can go on their field trips.
Yeah. Right? So you sign them because why? Why not just say like, no, you're not going. A mama needs a break.
Because they're important, because I love them and they want to go and that's best for them.
Okay. At the end of the day, when you're doing a recap of your day, rather than telling yourself you have nothing left, mm-hmm. for me, say, you know why I'm tired? Mm-hmm. I love the fuck out of my kids all day long. Mm-hmm. That's a very different energy to go into the evening.
Yeah.
Guys, if you want to get close to food, keep creating a story about your life that sucks.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to do one more. Then we'll get out of here. Heather Parrish. Hey, Heather. I can't see you. Oh, there we go. All right, now.
Hi.
You have to sit down. You know me. Like, I get all car sick and dizzy when you guys walk around with them damn phones.
I know. I'm going to find a spot.
What are we coaching on?
I honestly don't know, because I accidentally raised my hand.
Oh, well, let me call on somebody that meant to raise their hand.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Sorry. Lacey. This is the last one, guys. Lacey, are you here? There you are. Hey. Oh, I must have. Here, let me unmute you and see what happens. All right. Well, no. There we go.
You hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
That was an emotional roller coaster. I was like, oh, I'm not going to get coached. Oh, crap.
Well, I try to get through 4 or 5 people a call, but sometimes I go a little bit long.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm ready. I have notes.
All right. What are we catching on?
Well, I'll do just a quick little recap. You coached me April 10th on not believing that this would work.
Okay.
And I've made a lot of progress. I've lost 12 pounds.
So. Good. Oh, fuck. So. Thank God.
And I haven't been perfect. I didn't do 67 plans perfectly, but I've done way more than I did before.
There you go.
Working through accountability with my accountability group with No BS, and we're just finishing up taking control, the last yes. Section. So that's going good. And yeah, I'm starting to believe a little more now.
And what? Tell people how you started believing more.
By doing shit.
Amazing how if you just start doing some stuff, like I don't know what I told you on the call, but usually my best advice is like, do the shit before you believe in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
Everybody who does something new always has self-doubt first. It's like, we spend so much time and energy waiting to feel confident and waiting for it to feel like it's going to be perfect and waiting for like all of that stuff. And it's like,
yeah,
come on, we got to get in there and do some shit.
Well, okay, so this is, I'm making myself do this, but I want to talk about sex.
Sex. All right. I'm in.
So my question when I wrote it in was, how can I use self-love to increase my confidence in my marriage? We've had very little sex, probably about maybe 4 or 5 times this last year.
Okay.
I had surgery last May on my breast, but this is not a new issue for our marriage. And I would like to reach out physically to my husband, but negative thoughts about my body are holding me back. So kind of the self-love. Okay. And I've done some like TDLing and models about it. So I don't know. Do you want to hear some of my thoughts or do you want to hear my model? Like,
no, let me ask you this just before we get too far into it. Okay. Is he like, yay, we all have sex, or is he, no, he's not a sex guy.
He's not. So this isn't new. He digs it, but it's not really that big of a deal to him.
Okay.
I'm more of this. I'm kind of, the joke is I'm more of the pervert than him.
All right.
And
well, every marriage deserves one.
I know. I'm happy to play along.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've been working on it. I used to tell myself a lot more like he should be initiating more. He should be doing this to make me feel attractive. Mm-hmm. And through this last year, I like your thoughts of, no, we take control of our feelings and the relationship. And
especially if you're a pervert, because like you're built for it. He's not.
Exactly. And so I'm kind of having unrealistic expectations of him, but it's like I wanted him to do that work for me, because when we met, I was about 75 pounds thinner. I felt good in a bikini. Initiating sex wasn't like, it was fine. I didn't feel insecure about it at all. And
so what would you think when you would initiate sex back then? What were your thoughts?
Then?
Yeah.
I guess I thought that he's digging this. He likes doing this with me and he likes it when I'm initiating sex, and I do too.
Well, no, I mean the initiation, like before you would initiate, what were you thinking? You were thinking.
I thought that I felt hot. I felt hot and I felt confident.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, those were, yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, there's only one way to get to where you want to get to.
Okay.
You're going to have to do just like we did with believing in ourselves.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just start literally throwing yourself on the sword.
Yeah.
Before you feel all those things, knowing that that's what you want.
Yeah.
And deciding that you're retiring the version of you. Like, I would say, like, I'm retiring the shameful version or the not good enough version, trading it in for the doubting version, the nervous version, the learning version.
Yeah.
Until I get to the point to where I'm just like, you know what? This is about what my needs, my sexual desires and stuff. This is not a statement on my body and all these other things that my brain tries to make it.
Yeah. Yes. So I've been working on that. And so my husband works 2 weeks in Alaska and then is home for 2 weeks. So that's just the cycle of our marriage.
Yeah.
And came home last night. So I haven't told him. I told him he had to leave, but I didn't tell him what I was getting coached on. So every time that he's gone, I do like journaling and I try to get myself and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. And then I chicken out and I don't do it. And I think, one of the thoughts that I wrote down that I know is holding me back, that I am working on positive self-talk, but it's not perfection yet. Mm-hmm. I'm getting there. I'm much better. But like, I think like my killer thought that stops me is I think my body looks disgusting and I'm sure he doesn't want to have sex with me. And yeah.
You need to just tell yourself, if he doesn't want to have sex, it's because he's not as into it as I am.
Yeah.
That's it. And you need to just disallow it has anything to do with my body.
Yeah.
Like I would just like start like, because body is a big thing for you.
Yes.
I'm all about you doing your body work on like you talking about your body and stuff, but let's separate it out from the sex thing. It's okay. Just like when we do like with the food urges and stuff, we don't want to think that the reason why we're eating is because our mom called us fat when we were 11. because it's just, no, you're eating now because you keep choosing to eat. Just like with you.
Yeah.
You're either having sex or not because you're choosing to have sex or not. It's not because of your body. And like allowing yourself to be like, you know, I got work to do on my body, but I'm not going to allow it to be a part of my sex life anymore.
Okay.
Like my, and when I say that, of course your body is a part of your sex life, but you, my thoughts about my body, like those I'm working on over here, but over here, I'm just making this mean what it is. I like sex. I enjoy it. I have a man who will do it with me.
He's willing to do it. He just prefers I get it going.
Yeah. Well, and that's even better. It's not like he doesn't enjoy sex. No, he's just not an issue. And we've got women in the tribe whose husbands don't even like sex and they have to like work around that. So you just, he's just like, that's just the way he is. It's just like, think about it this way. He probably like, does he like to cook?
No.
Yeah. It's just his preference. Like, yeah. I don't like cooking. I also don't like initiating sex. It's just not my thing, but I'm all in when you are.
He's kind of a shy, reserved guy. It's just kind of his personality.
Yeah, you just need to pull out, though, that any of this has to do with your body.
Yes.
Like, the reason why he's not initiating sex and our whole sex life has everything to do with just his personal taste when it comes to whether or not he initiates or not. And I don't bring my thoughts about my body, unless they're the good ones. Mm-hmm. They can come along for the ride. But the other ones, they're not a part of this equation anymore.
So I get there just by practicing that thought, arguing with the negative ones, and taking action.
Don't have to argue with them. You let them be there.
Okay.
But you understand they're just thoughts.
Okay.
So like when we argue with thoughts, that's very, it's very depleting.
Yeah.
When we argue with them, it's like we have to prove something's true.
Okay.
It's like, you don't have to prove anything. It's just the thought. It doesn't even, like, I like to think about it, like, my thoughts, like, don't even deserve the energy in the room to, like, pay that much attention to them. It's like, I think negative things about my body all the time.
Which is hard to imagine because you're adorable.
Well, thank you. But, like, seriously, I'm just like every other human.
Yeah.
I mean, our brains are just wired to judge us.
Yeah.
And we just, like, some people, like, for all of us who've had weight issues, our brains are going to use the judgment and go straight in for the weight stuff. People who've always been thin, you know what they do? They usually judge themselves on other things.
Yeah.
But everybody judges themselves to some degree. The trick is learning how to allow for judgment to come in, but not feel bad because of it.
Okay.
It's just like if somebody like cuts me off on the road, I don't like allow it to ruin my day. Like, oh my God, I got cut off. Now I need to tell everybody about it. I can't believe that happened to me. Like, you can be in that space or it's just be like, well, that sucked. And then move on.
Yeah. So kind of just like neutral. So, okay, there's that thought, but I'm not bringing it into the bedroom.
Yeah. You just say like, this has nothing to do with my sex life. Okay. Like when you think my body is disgusting and surely he thinks that way.
Yeah.
You just have to be like, of course I would think that. I've thought that for a long time. And we're practicing new thoughts, but I don't need to like argue. It's like, that's wrong. You're the most amazing thing that ever. Like,
yeah.
Like the easiest way to retire thoughts like that permanently is to quit making them a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you schedule sex.
Made it a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And then you start scheduling sex and you do it. But here's the thing. I want you to see this. This is how the 24-hour plan works. A lot of us have the, like, we believe we can't lose weight. We believe we can't, this is what you did. I believe I can't do all these things. All right. Well, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to start opening my mind up to the idea that I can lose some weight. And I'm going to do these 24-hour plans. And you get in there and you start doing some shit. And you start realizing that your lack of belief had nothing to do with your ability to just eat your 24-hour plan.
Yeah.
You start creating evidence that, oh, maybe they are two separate things. Just like with sex. You're going to plan to have sex. You're still going to think shitty things, except you're just going to be like, nope. And we're still going to act like the person who's ultra confident about their body. The person who's like, you know what? My husband loves me.
like fake it till you make it.
It's not even faking it. It's like truly like doing the action.
Well, but
you're actually being,
I would have to fake the confidence is what I'm saying.
You're not like, faking the confidence. You're stepping into the version of you who has sex because she wants it.
Okay.
You're not faking anything.
All right.
But you're allowing your actions. You're allowing yourself to change, like to practice a new thought. You're allowing yourself to no longer believe this. That's not fake at all. That is exactly what someone who wants to change the relationship with himself does.
Okay.
Now, you may not feel confident yet, but you are now acting as if someone who is going to feel confident one day.
Okay.
And eventually what happens is they become aligned.
All right.
But you got to start like being that person.
Okay.
But if you tell yourself, I'm just faking it, I'm just faking it, that is a deadly thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, no, I'm not faking anything. I'm learning.
I'm learning how to do it. On being confident here.
Yeah. It's a process.
That's kind of a laddering thought. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like where I am these days. It's like, you know, for years, I had to practice being where I am now. Like I believe in myself. I really believe in myself and in all things. And I believe I can handle things. And I have bad days and I have like shady thoughts. But the difference is that I really believe I'm this person now. And so when these thoughts come in, okay, they don't feel genuine. Just anyway, like for a long time, my confidence thoughts didn't feel genuine. Okay. These did.
Yeah.
But I had to decide to quit acting like those.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I've got razor burn in my armpit. If you wonder why I keep like grabbing at my arm, I'm like, I think I either cut myself or got razor burn. I'm going to have to change my shirt after this. This is not the shirt that I have on. Let's put it that way. What do you think?
I think I'm going to have to listen to this multiple times over, but that resonates with me. I think it's doable. I guess maybe just a little help on, so my intentional with the thought for my intentional model, which I think you kind of gave me. So my, like my unintentional was, you know, oh, my husband's name is Chris, by the way. Oh, cool. Chris doesn't initiate sex because he doesn't find me attractive. This is my unintentional, the bad one, which makes me feel rejected and disconnected. My action is to withdraw, put up walls to protect myself from feeling rejected, and then I increase the distance. And then my intentional, I don't have the thought. The feeling I want is connected and loving.
Oh, I got your thought.
Okay, good. And then my action, daily physical touch, initiate sex at least once a week. And then I result would be feel comfortable and confident in initiating touch and sex.
Chris doesn't initiate sex because I'm better at it. Real simple.
Okay.
Simple, clean, direct.
Okay, I will write that down. That's hilarious. And true.
And true. Very true.
And true. I don't think I would have come to that on my own. I like that. Okay. And kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay. And I used to get Brazilians all the time. And since I've gained weight, I've been like, I don't want to be the fat girl in the salon, but I'm just going to freaking do it because I love them.
Yeah.
And not the action of getting them, but you know, the
yeah, I was going to say, I don't love the action either, but I would just say like, start treating yourself like you would treat yourself if you didn't have your weight on you.
Yeah.
And do it now.
Do it now.
There's no sense in waiting because yeah, the more you treat yourself like the version of you that you think like, oh, this is going to happen when I lose weight. Yeah. You start believing, like you start doing that stuff now. That is like what I was talking about with Alexis. You start creating worth in yourself. Like yeah, I am worth Brazilians. I am worth initiating sex. I am worth working on changing my mind. I am worth my 24-hour plans.
Yeah.
When you build and construct your life from a, like that was so significant for me when I lost my weight the last time. It was the first time in my life that I started doing things because I just felt like I deserved better.
Yeah.
Agreed. And it wasn't, I deserved better from the world. I deserved better from me.
Yeah.
And when I came to that realization, I was willing to start feeling all kinds of things I'd never been willing to feel, trying new things,
yeah,
putting myself out there, because I just was like so determined to have a better life,
mm-hmm,
and not determined to focus on my shitty one.
Yeah. That keeps you in the shitty one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the update too. I love good updates. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Another husband's going to fall in love with me again. It's like all these husbands are just like, oh my God, never thought my wife would be all about the sex when she joined me. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Thank you for hanging in there with me for so long. We'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.